Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in chapter 6. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. The world is deteriorating and corrupting, and you and I see some things that you can't deny any longer. The slow path to hell is the one that leads people to destruction. We're not having a slow path now. We've got people who are at enmity with each other. There are race divisions. There are legal divisions. There is fragmentation in our government. It's crazy. And then there's gender divisions. Everybody's against everybody else. You and I are living at a time unlike anything ever before, because now what we're doing is we are raising little children for destruction. They're being born to go to hell because their parents aren't telling them about Jesus. And they don't care about Jesus, and they don't care about God, and they don't care about the church. And what care they do have is manipulated care of the Laodicean spirit. They're poor, rich, and naked, and blind. They take them, they go play. You know, many churches have video games for Sunday school. They have games and bands and fun, and it's all, boy, it's about you. Talk about Laodicea. Those kids come out of their groups into the congregation, and they want more of that. Because it's fun. You want to know what's fun? Seeing somebody get saved because you shared with them the unsearchable riches about Jesus. They now will not go to hell. That's cool. That's fun. But people have lost it, man. They're all about the easy. Give me some more ice cream and cookies and give me some cakes and, you know, forget about the work of the kingdom. No, what I'm saying to you, come up hither represents in chapter 4 that we were raptured. And when you see that in chapter 4, the rapture of the church is set before us. And at the rapture of the church in chapter 4, we now are catapulted into the throne room of God. Chapters 4 and 5 represent the throne room of God. The consensus is being polled. You ever poll somebody for how everybody's going to vote, right? Everybody's on board. Chapter 4 represents the people saying, you are worthy to go ahead and pull the trigger on the tribulation because you created all things at the end of chapter 4. You're the great creator. You're the creator. You created all things. So you're right to do this. Chapter 5, we see a book, a scroll in the room. What it is, it's a title deed. Nobody knows this, but it's written on the back and in the front. It's a scroll. Nobody can open it. John's brokenhearted. He says, I was brokenhearted because nobody could open the book. One of the elders reached over and said, it's okay. Watch this. And they see a lamb in the midst, and it's Jesus. And Jesus has prevailed to take the scroll. He takes the scroll, and everybody says, you are worthy to take the scroll. Why are you worthy to take the scroll? Well, you're worthy because in verse 9, you have redeemed us unto God from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. See, you're the Redeemer. You're the Creator. You're worthy. You're the Redeemer. You're worthy. Do it. Nothing would do our hearts more good than to see Jesus being crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords by every faithful heart. So he gets the word. Go ahead, pull the trigger. He takes the scroll and he does. And in chapter 6, what we have is we have the breaking of the seals. From here on out, what you have is a continuum of sevens with a lot of parenthetical inserts. The first seven are seven seal judgments. The second sevens are seven trumpet judgments. And the third seven are seven vial or bowl judgments. The seven seal judgments are seals because they're the unfolding of this document. And the seal breaks and he gets to read more. That's the way we would do with it. In the old days, they'd read somebody's will. They'd open it, go a little further, open it, go a little further, and those seals would be broken. Well, what happens in the seal judgments is that there is a natural unfolding that takes place because of the rapture. In other words, there's going to be chaos for a little while because when the rapture happens, a lot of things are going to transpire that people are going to say, I can't deny it. These people, I knew Joe, I knew Sam, I knew Cindy, I knew whatever, and they're gone. My grandma's gone. My brother's gone. They were Christians. I know what they're saying on the media, but I know them, and people are going to be freaking out. And there's going to be a time of chaos that will take place. Some people will be killed directly because somebody's car evacuated and their car ran into somebody and people were killed on the highway. You and I Can't imagine what would happen if God raptured people out. If you want other raptures, you got Enoch walked with God. He was not, for God took him. You've got Elijah, who was taken up in a fiery chariot alive. We've got also the people, the eight souls in the flood, who were taken when the rest of the world went through it. I'm just saying, the rapture happens, the world's in chaos because they can't deny it anymore. What happens then is a white rider comes, the first horseman. He's a white rider. He's a guy who's a politically savvy. He's going to get everybody to calm down, take a pill, relax. I got this. I'll tell you what we're going to do. And he's a man who's a deceiver. He's the Antichrist. He rides a white horse, but his heart is black as coal. Then you have after him, you have a red horse, and the red horse represents for us the taking of peace from the earth. You know what that means? That means they're going to kill each other. If you look at verse 4, it says they're going to kill one another. You got these. This fragmentation of our society, it's all over the world. You never saw anything like what's going on in our world today with the media, and they just can't talk enough about destroying a president who's just trying to pull some things back to the realm of sanity from where it was going for the past 8 years before him. But there's going to take peace, and people are going to kill each other. This writer is going to be able to go out there and stir everything up. The Christians aren't going to be able, sometimes if somebody's really righteous and they're standby, you behave yourself a little better. When the preacher walks in, many times people begin to think, oh, I should not talk. I'm sorry I said that, or whatever. They'll clean up their language. Maybe when a lady used to come in, they would do that. Now, many times in certain sections of the world, they're more vile than the men. It's crazy. What I'm saying to you is that all is done. There is not going to be any salt in the world. The rapture takes out of the way that which has been holding back the decay. That's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That which hindereth is taken out of the way. We are taken out of the way. So everything's going to come unglued. People are going to be looting. And then there's going to be a black horse, verse 5 of chapter 6, and that means famine. Why? Because many of the people who ran companies, many of the people who made productivity happen are Christians, or at least some of their people who under them are. And a lot of things are going to screech halt, and things aren't going to get done, and things are going to be out of control. And the governments are going to do what governments do. They're going to take what is good in food, and they're going to put it in a pile somewhere and say, you can't have any unless I give you some so I can control you. Just like they do with our health care today. You can't have any health care if you don't do what I tell you to do. That's the way they're doing it now. You send stuff to Africa for food. You hope it gets to the kids, right? Late night, you got a little kid with flies, and a bold, bloated stomach. You send money, you wonder if it gets to them, right? Because governments control the food. The Bible says that the oil and the wine are not hurt in verse 6, so the rich people are doing fine. But everybody else is going to be really hungry, and that's going to be part of the reason they're going to fight. And when he opened the fourth seal, he saw a pale horse. Why? Because they're going to be death and hell following. The Bible says God is going to allow fourth part of the world to unfold as it naturally would, and that the earth is going to be killed with the sword. Look at this, with hunger and with death. Do you know what? How you get killed with death? Dead bodies decaying in the streets. Who's cleaning that up? Nobody. Everybody's getting more high-def screen TVs or looting the Christian family's homes. They're going in there and they're so busy about that, but the people are dying and there's nobody cleaning this mess up and there's death. They're going to be killed with death. That's the four first seals. The fifth seal is the souls of them that were slain under an altar. In other words, a lot of people are going to kill Christians. You say, I thought the Christians were raptured. Yeah, the Christians were raptured, but the people who come to Christ after the tribulation begins are going to be killed. And they're going to be Christians, but not part of the bride of Christ, not part of the body of Christ. They're going to be saved by Jesus the same way we're saved, but they're going to be saved too late to avoid the trauma of the tribulation. They're going to have to die. People are going to have their heads cut off. I remember you used to read that as a kid. Head cut off? I thought that's barbaric. That's old school. No, they're doing it today. They're doing it today. And that's going to be one of the things that's going to be resurrected in a big way. And then in verse 12, the sixth seal is a great earthquake. So you got martyrdom and earthquake. So the seals are there. What about the seventh seal? Well, the seventh seal is the seven trumpets. And what that is what God does is he actually enters the fray. But before we get to the seventh trumpet, we have to look at chapter 7. Chapter 7 says God is going to seal 144,000 Jewish evangelists to go out and preach the gospel all over the world. This is happening during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. They're preaching, and 144,000 from each tribe of Israel. Why? Because the book of Revelation is explained for us by the 70th week of years of Daniel. There's one week of years where God is going to get Israel back in line with him once and for all. That's what's going to happen. But in the first 3.5 years, only 144,000, they're going to be witnessing to everybody, everywhere. The highest point of missionary outreach, we had maybe like 70,000 missionaries. It's going to be 144,000 of them. They're going to all the world. They're going to have the illustration not only of the rapture, but of the two witnesses that are preaching down in Jerusalem every day, saying God is going to wipe this place out. The Antichrist is going to come. Oh, that's him. You know, he's going to be calling everybody what they are. They're going to be calling black, black, white, white, right, right, wrong, wrong. Everybody's going to hate him. But what we have here is we have him sealing his servants of God in verse 3. 144,000. 12,000 from each tribe of the 12. Verse 9 says, after this, I saw a great multitude in chapter 7. And it says in verse 14 that these are they which come out of great tribulation. So yeah, you can get saved. Then, if you haven't hardened yourself enough to not be, because there comes a point where you can't do it, your heart gets carterized, you say no to God for the last time. But some people will wake up because these evangelists will go. And since there's a whole bunch of millennials coming up knowing nothing about God, they're going to get a quick lesson, and many of them will get saved, probably, because they don't know anything. Therefore, their hearts are open to hearing. But the Bible says people come out of the Great Tribulation. But notice in verse 16, these people who were saved, they shall hunger no more, thirst no more. The light of the sun will not smite them anymore, nor any heat. They're going to be scorched by the sun. These people are people who get saved, but they're not exempted from the plagues, because the plagues are going to be poured out on the earth and they're going to have to endure them to the end. That's why when the Bible says in the sermon that Jesus told about the coming of the Lord and what time these will be, he says, he that endures to the end will be saved. Because if you take the mark, you're lost. Holy Spirit comes and goes and comes and goes like he did in the Old Testament, but in you and me, he seals us. We're sealed. The moment we get saved, he's the earnest of our expectation. But in this day, the real litmus test is going to be, did they endure to the end? And then we turn from chapter 7 to chapter 8, which is, in fact, the breaking of the seventh seal. Look at verse 1. It says, and he opened the seventh seal. So we've had a little parenthetical insert. Happens all the time in the book. But when you get back online, things are moving forward in chronological manner. We have this seventh seal being broken, and the seventh seal represents for us a little idea of what's really going on. The Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 8, and there was silence in heaven about a half an hour. And when you look at the word half an hour, and you look at it in its context in the Bible, you know, the Bible talks about the hour comes upon the earth, this hour comes upon on the earth. He says, I will save you from the hour of temptation we saw in chapter 3 of Revelation. He's saying half of this hour of the great tribulation, half of it, God's not said anything. He's just let it naturally unfold. That's my belief. He's saying it's been naturally unfolding. There's not been anything from heaven. God's not done any interjecting. He's let the world unfold as it unfolds. The great earthquake of the sixth seal, that's very possibly a couple of these huge volcanoes that are under the earth, like in Yellowstone. That could very well be that. Natural consequence. It's going to happen. They know it. They're watching it. They're even trying to break some stress by drilling holes. Well, that's a good idea. Let's break some stress. Let's hurry this thing up. That's what I think. How do they know exactly where to drill? And what if they hit the wrong nerve, right? You know. But there's going to be a blowing of something. The Bible says it's going to be like stars falling from heaven, probably like lava. I don't know. But I believe this is saying there's half an hour of silence, meaning half of the tribulation, God doesn't deal with it. Because verse 2 says, then they were given seven trumpets to these angels, and they were given much incense, verse 3. Prayers of the saints are the incense that goes before God. But it had to be added to because saints don't pray like they should. So he added to it. And then he filled this censer in verse 5 with fire and he cast it to the earth. Now God enters the fray. Now God's going to do something serious. And what's he going to do? Well, he's going to do a number of things. First of all, he's going to send burning on the earth, and a lot of the vegetation is going to be burned up. Second, he's going to turn water to blood, and a lot of the creatures of the earth and the shipping trade is going to be wiped out and messed up. Verse 10 is going to be the rivers and the fountains of water are going to be made bitter, so they're not going to have good drinking water. We're talking about God saying, listen, you want to know who this is behind all this? Remember, my signature, this is me. Come to me. Why? Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.